I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. First, I want to thank Father Augustine publicly for filling in for me last weekend while I was on vacation. I want to thank you, too, for your contribution to his mission appeal. Father Augustine is from Pakistan. Pakistan is a troubled country. It's 98.8% Muslim. And the Catholic Christians there are greatly persecuted. If he didn't tell you that before, you should be aware. So that everything we can do for them is greatly appreciated. So thank you for your contribution to the mission. Also want to point out a new addition to our sanctuary here, a new presider's chair, if you haven't noticed it before. Presider's chair represents the bishop's chair in the cathedral, which represents the pope's chair in Rome, which represents a predate of a chair that the Jews had in every synagogue, the chair of Moses. And I'll talk more about that next week. The presider's chair should be impressive. This is impressive. Today's topic is one that has been chosen by the U.S. bishops. The U.S. bishops on this day have asked us to speak about life. Pro-Life Sunday. Why this day? Well, it was on this day, January 22nd in 1973, that the U.S. Supreme Court overturned 48 states that had laws protecting the unborn child. On this day, in 1973, abortion became legal. The killing of the unborn through all 9 months of pregnancy was allowed, even up and through the birth canal. Children could be killed. This is terrible. On the plane ride coming back, I was talking to a young lady. We subject turned to abortion, and she said that this is a shortcoming of the United States. And I said, 4,000 babies a day being killed is a shortcoming? Well, this is an abomination. This is something, is an outrage in our land, the death of so many babies. Reminds me of what the wife of Billy Graham once said, Billy Graham, the great Protestant preacher. She said, if God does not punish the United States for abortion, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was the great decadent cities. Homosexuality was rampant. And God wiped that out because of their sins. For we too need to repent of our sins in our land. We need to recognize that God does not let abortion go on forever. There's a price to be paid. So what can we do? Well, as Catholic Christians, we have to stand up and speak against this great evil. Not only the evil of abortion, but all life must be protected. The great dignity of life must be upheld from conception until natural death. So we have to be pro-life in our hearts and in our actions, in how we speak about things, in how we plan our marriages and our children. We must recognize that life comes from God, that we cannot destroy life willy-nilly. We will be answerable to it. Why is this an important subject today? Well, because on Friday, the Secretary for Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius, who is a Catholic, pick and choose Catholic, she has ordered all insurance companies to provide contraceptives freely to anyone. Even the contraceptive that is called Ella, Oh, Ella, how wonderful. Ella, what a beautiful name, Ella. What is Ella? Well, Ella is a drug that's designed as an abortifacient. That is, it's designed to kill babies in the womb. So this is something that every American, every taxpayer at least, is asked to subsidize with our monies. Well, there was such an outrage Friday afternoon that President Obama, thinking, hey, he came up with an idea on Saturday, we'll exempt religious organizations for 1 year. He knows there's an election coming up. He doesn't want Catholics and others to protest too much. Still evil. The deception that goes on. So our bishops are asking us on this day to say yes to life and no to death, the culture of death. And to be open to life, open to fertility, which means we have to reject sterility, sterilization, open to foster care, open to adoption. And for the elderly, we have to allow for a natural death, and not one that is being implemented by doctors more and more. That is, doctors more and more are practicing euthanasia, the killing of the elderly. How? By withdrawing food. How? By withdrawing water. At the very least, we must ask for this for our parents and grandparents, that food and water must be maintained. Otherwise, you die if you don't have food. You die if you don't have water. And doctors more and more are upping the dosage of morphine. Too much morphine, the person slips away. This is killing them, violating the oath that they once had and held sacred. The oath of Hippocrates, the Hippocratic Oath, the first point of which is, do no harm. And another part of the oath, I will not give a woman the instruments of abortion. And this was started 500 years before Jesus. Doctors used to hold this oath sacred to themselves and to their profession. But now in recent decades, all of that is being turned over for convenience, for money. And so the culture of death has grown more and more in our land. We as Catholic Christians must recognize that we have a prophetic voice to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the unborn, for the elderly on their deathbeds. We must speak for life. And when you do so, you're speaking for Christ. But when you do that, recognize what Jesus told the apostles and us. If they persecute me, they will persecute you. This is a kind of an easy distinction here. Are people persecuting you for your pro-life positions? Or are people praising you for your culture of death positions? We as Catholic Christians must speak up for life. Today, thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands are going to Washington, D.C. from all across the United States for the annual March for Life to tell our congressmen and women that we are a Christian nation that needs to defend the unborn. So I challenge you to watch some of this on TV today on EWTN, the Catholic radio, the Catholic cable station. And pray for them. Pray for an overturning of abortion and the culture of death. And then what else can we do? We have to make sure that those who we elect to represent us on a state level and a federal level, that they are pro-life. And if we have not been doing this in the past, we have to repent of that. Repent of our involvement in the culture of death in all levels. And when we do that, we are truly followers of Christ. We are hearing the voice that Peter and Andrew, James and John heard, "Come, follow me." And so Jesus is challenging each and every one of us to be a prophetic voice, to speak up for life despite persecution, to follow after Him and truly be an apostle in our world today.